Amen. I mean, the Lord has poured His will, His heart in this book. Amen. He has given us His nature. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And it's a sad thing that when I reach heaven, I'll be ignorant of everything He left for me to learn and to understand. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm not complicated. If a Puerto Rican like me can understand it, trust me, anyone can. There's no rocking science in this. Amen. The Lord has equipped us, amen, to do this. Well, about 3 years ago, I was ready just to quit everything because disappointments, because people misinterpret. The Lord gave me a ministry that is not pleasant to do. I find no glory whatsoever. It is because it is more like a dying thing. The thing about prophecy, I do it, and trust me, I do it in obedience, and I do it by faith. But I find no glory absolutely because I told the Lord, I don't like to have my reputation being in the mouth of people every time I open my mouth. You know what the Lord said to me? You have no reputation. So that's a good thing. Amen. Why? Because we don't do ministry in our reputation. We do ministry in His reputation. Because He has a history. Amen. And if we can say in this word, perhaps not properly, He has a resume. Amen. That He is faithful, amen. He cannot deny Himself. He's done all these things, amen, in which we can take His word at its value and ride the wave of His word because He is faithful. Matter of fact, I told him, you know, when the Lord spoke to my call, he only gave me one word. And I complained, no vision, no. I'm running this ministry in one word. So one word from the Lord is enough. You don't need more than that. Amen. If you need more explanation, well, some people do, but I only needed one word. And when He spoke that to my heart, I knew. Because the word in the Spirit means volumes. It takes you a whole lifetime to understand everything. And the word that He said to me, He just a whisper. Prophet. And I didn't know what it was, a prophet. But I knew that was me. The Lord defined my identity. And this morning I want to speak about that, about having identity in the Lord. Amen. So, in one of my streets, I hope I don't lose anybody in my train of thought because I'm following the Holy Spirit. I've been in Taiwan about 10 times, and at that time when I went there, I was ready to quit. And this person, which I had prayed 12 years before, found me. Said, "Would you like to come to Taiwan?" Another person from Port Arthur, Texas, called me, and from 12 years before, called me. I said, "Would you like to come back?" Well, in my schedule, I have 2 weeks. That I had nowhere to go, and a weekend nowhere to go. And guess what? The time that they asked me were exactly the two times for me to go. 2 weeks in Taiwan, and weekend in Port Arthur, Texas. And the Lord used that time, what? To begin to change the way I view things, to change the way He trained me to do what I'm doing today. I'm still in training. This never ends. This is a daily training. Amen? So I've been there about 10 times. But the time before the last two times, He says something to me, the Holy Spirit. He says, he asked me, "Say, Victor, you understand why there's so much difference in the church? Why some people believe, for example, God can heal and some believe He cannot heal for today? Some people believe, you know, salvation is for everybody. Some people believe salvation is only for a few that are predestinated to be saved. And that's it. Some people believe in speaking in tongues. Some people don't believe in speaking in tongues. Some people believe God dwells in your heart. Other people don't believe. Some people believe only on Jesus. I mean, it's just crazy if you listen to people. Amen? And the Holy Spirit said to me, the reason this is happening, Victor, is because the person that was sent, amen, to undo all that kind of stuff, we have not given him the place that he required in the church. Amen? So at that time, I just retired November of 2014. And my friend Jaime, is right here somewhere, he began to tell me about this prophet from Puerto Rico. And I began to listen. I never connected to YouTube. I began to listen to all these people, you know. And I didn't know what to make of all these videos, you know. People howling like wolves and saying that it's the Holy Spirit. Crawling on the ground and barking like dogs and saying it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, people in Africa with all these miracles, so-called miracles and everything. And my goodness, and it's so crazy, I had to stop because it crossed too much the natural mind, you know. So, And also, you know, in my trip to Samoa, in Samoa, there's about, for every village, there's about three of churches or more. And sometimes one back to back, just right there. Because two people hear from God and they say, build me a church. And I thought, my goodness, God needs to go to the psychiatrist to get some medication for the hormonal imbalances that he has, because to whom is he talking? Can you understand? I'm not trying to disrespect God, but can you understand? Because I'm sure God is you know, he's well and fine. He don't need no help. But it seems that we need help listening. Amen. As to what he has to say. Amen. Now, let's look at the scripture, because this is my point. That the Holy Spirit said to me, the Lord make very great emphasis to define the purpose of why he had to live and to send another comforter, amen, so that he could take care of us. So let's go to the book of John chapter 14. I'm going to show you something. And the scripture begins in verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, that he might dwell with you, that he might inhabit, you know, cohabit with you forever. The word another, you know, it means one of the same kind. So he was saying, it's just me, in the person of the Holy Spirit, the one that is coming. Amen? Because he's going to comfort you as I comfort you now in the flesh. That's why he means in the flesh. But he's going to comfort you in a more vital, life-changing, history-making, eternal history-making way. He's going to do that for us. And he's going to be for us not for a moment, not for a week, not for vacation. He's going to be with us forever. Amen? How many of you thank God that he's not came with a fire escape plan? You know, that when things get hot in our life, there's an exit there, and there he goes by the door. No, he did not come with a fire escape plan. He came for sure to stay with us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Because I hear people sometimes, by the way you listen to them speaking, that God is far, you know, maybe he's in Hawaii, you know, sipping pina coladas, and he forgot about you. Because we don't feel him. We don't feel him. Well, I will explain that to you, but this was never meant to be about feeling. Amen? But look at this. He says, even, actually, the word even is not, he said, the Spirit of truth, that is the other comforter. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or cannot accept, because he sees him not. Why? Because the world is what? He is sense guy, sense led. Amen? Emotional led, intellectually led. But you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and that is, the, you know, he been around for forever, amen, among us. But this is the good part. But he will be in you. That's a big difference right there. Everything changes. The paradigm of God being in this planet and doing what he needs to do change everything. He promised that he would be in us. And he has to do from the very beginning that Adam turned his back on the Lord, that his nature completely changed. When he say no to God through disobedience, and he turned, amen, to listen to that serpent through his wife, he became one with his flesh. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says that Adam came into being a living soul. That means his soul, everything he received from nature, from God, came through his soul that was completely alive. His body, his flesh, his spirit was completely alive unto God. But when you read a little bit in that same chapter 15, it says that Jesus became a life-giving spirit. It has to change, because the first Adam took us in a nosedive into the flesh, and we became sensually guys, sensually oriented, to the point that through history we lost almost completely, with a remnant, all attachment, all hearing, awareness that there is a God. Amen? So Jesus had to come and change. The thing with humanity was that we changed natures. We exchanged the nature that God has given us for the nature that was completely flesh, sensually. Amen? And in reality, And in reality, I have to interject this in a parenthesis. God, dealing with humanity, he has to destroy and kill every one of us. There is no two ways about the righteous justice of God. And this might sound like a shock, but listen, like a shock to some of you. But the good about this is that the scripture says that God, for the great love with which he loved us, found a way to spare our lives. And he did that by sending his son in the likeness of flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. And in him, the scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 6, that as he died in the flesh, we were baptized together with him in the likeness of his flesh. And when we arose from the dead, we arose together with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And he, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we were made to sit in the heavenly places together with him. And that was before we agreed to the thing. Before we say, yes, he already loved us so much that he prepared a place. Amen? So what happened to us? That the cross became, with the word of God, the instrument of circumcision, the cutting away of the flesh from our heart, so that we might belong to the new us, which is united forever with Christ. Amen? I don't have time to go into that. It'll take a long time to explain, but take me. You're supposed to listen to me and take note and go and check it out. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. Well, Pastor will correct you after I'm gone. But listen. Amen. So here we are with the Holy Spirit, that everything will change, that we, from being fleshly creatures, will turn to be spiritual. And I'm going to explain that in a second. Amen? Look at this. Even verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In some of your translation, I have the right translation. It says, I will not leave you orphans. Amen? So the Holy Spirit said to me, if we were not meant to be orphans, that means that something was going to happen to us and to them. Amen? Hallelujah. That means we were not going to be what? Parentless. We were not going to be fatherless. On account of one, on account that for us to partake of the kingdom in which we have been ushered in Christ, we needed a new nature. Why? Because flesh and blood, according to 1 Corinthians 15 again, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh, as much as you and I love it and care for it and take it to LA Fitness and give it all the diets that you want, as much intellect we put in this brain, is not going to inherit what the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us. Amen? Like my pastor said, this is cemetery material. Or like to say, pardon the expression in this morning, maggot's feet. Feet. Still, we need to take care of it. Make it look good. Amen. Use the other and take a shower, whether we did it or not. It'll look good and everything. Amen. Because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit said to me, so, because I have not been able to father the children of God, I haven't been able to raise them up to be Christ-like. In 1 Corinthians, in Galatians chapter 4, I think verse 19, Paul says to the Galatians, my little children, for whom I travail again in prayer until Christ be formed in you. So that means to be what? Christ-like. Amen? So the Holy Spirit, working alive, the principle, the most important is to raise us up as children of God, to be Christ-like, to give us now a spiritual identity. I'm going to explain. You look at me, you understand. Look at this. Hallelujah. So the promise of not leave us comfortless. Now, verse 26. But the Comforter, in the same chapter, 14, John, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What a great comfort for me. I read the scripture. I don't have to memorize chapter number. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart to bring to remembrance. I don't go to these drills or try to memorize anything. I just read it. Because now you and I have access to that mind. We have access to the mind of Christ, not only through the revealed will of God, But through Holy Spirit that dwells in our heart, we have become one with Him. Isn't that something? Well, you'll get it by the end of this. Hallelujah. So that is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another thing here in chapter 16. Let's read over here in verse 12. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth. Listen to this, all truth. Not some truth. Not whether Jesus healed or not. He's going to dispel all ambivalence. Amen. Any fogginess, any kind of smoke screen that doesn't allow us to see clearly what is the mind of the Spirit. Amen. He's going to guide us into all truth. Can I hear an amen? Do you believe that? I believe you believe that. Amen. He says, for He shall not speak of Himself. Actually, in the Greek is, He shall not speak from Himself. You know what that tells me? That the Holy Spirit will never speak as of His own volition, absolutely anything. Even though He's God, and He deserves all glory, all power, and everything, He defines His work in our heart. Eh? He's not going to speak from Himself. And Jesus is going to tell us right here. But whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak. And He will show you things to come. Amen. Amen. And He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Yeah. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit is moving, whatever He's doing, whatever He purposed to do in the church, He got one purpose, and it's that to glorify Jesus. See, I know when the Holy Spirit is moving, because Jesus has been exalted to the place that the Father gave Him as a son. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So I know these other things that are distractions. They're just distractions that come to rob you of the opportunity of the Holy Spirit to nurture you and educate you to be a son and a daughter of the living God. Holy Spirit Himself, and this was, I know He received that from Jesus. I mean, He says, complete services are given just to exalt the Holy Spirit, and He grieves the Holy Spirit because He's waiting to do what He's meant to be. To be a father to every one of us. To be a dear father to every one of us. And we rob Him of the opportunity that we are entitled, that we are to take opportunity to be nurtured. Amen. Because if pastor take time, amen, pastor take the time to prepare himself, it is the Holy Spirit working in his heart to what? To educate us. Can I hear an amen? Fix this a little bit because I'm... No, I won't use that. I'd rather scream with my own voice because I got to go through the word again. You want to put it on this side, that's fine. You know, I just... Okay. It's good. It's good. Praise the Lord. You can quiz my ears. It's okay. So, let me explain this very well. Because I don't want anybody to think that I'm disrespecting the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to tell you what I received from Him. Because there's so much confusion, so many things. And He was sent to be a father into our spirits. Let me tell you another thing. First Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, let me go there, yeah, before. Tell us that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And that is in verse 17. But he that is joined, it speaks about the man that is joined to a woman is one flesh, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Meaning what? That the minute or the very second that you ask the Lord to come into your heart, you have become a new creation. You have become one with the Spirit. Meaning what? You have been circumcised. You have been severed from your flesh. Amen. So now the Holy Spirit comes to give us identity, not with the flesh, but with the Spirit. Amen. And we're going to go here real quick in a couple of scriptures. But look what it says here in the book of James, chapter 1. Am I speaking too fast? I know Puerto Rican speak fast. But look at this. Verse 23 says, of James 1, it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was or a woman. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. So if we forget to look in that perfect law of liberty, we are going to forget the nature that we have received from him. Amen. The scripture says, matter of fact, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, I believe it is, look what Paul says in verse 3. He says, for we are the circumcision and worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we are the circumcision. As opposed to what? As opposed that God the foreskinner of the flesh? No. As opposed to those that have received Jesus Christ into the heart. Amen? Because he says in the very first verse that those that only cause the foreskin of their flesh and have no a circumcision at the heart, they just mutilate the body. They have done nothing for us. Amen? Otherwise, you know, all those that are circumcised from birth, they will be born again, and they're not. You have to receive Jesus to receive what? Circumcision of the heart. He says, we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and have no trusting relationship with the flesh. Jesus himself says, when the woman by the well, he said to her, the Samaritan woman, he says that those that worship God must worship him. How? How? In spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so that you understand a little bit better what I'm trying to tell you, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 6. And let me show you something. Praise God. Praise the living God. And this is the chapter that, you know, we use six. And then we'll go to seven. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, what? In newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that all men, and that's not your father, that is your flesh, whether male or female, is crucified with him, that the body of sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen? He says that the body of sin, the old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. Well, when I receive Christ, my body is still intact. So evidently that is not what it means. What it means is that the moment you have received Christ into your heart, the body of sin has been stripped of the power, of the authority for you and I to obey him. It was done through the cross. And the work of the Holy Spirit into our heart is to teach us, has to master, amen, the intellectual part of us that lead us into prison and to be a slave of the sin nature that dwells still in our flesh. So this body, your body and mine, the nature of sin that is in that thing, because how many of you know that you still have the sin nature in your flesh? There's tons of scripture that tell us to put him off and put it to death and mortify. Amen. Hallelujah. But in the operation of God, this body of ours has already been dealt a mortal blow because it was nailed to the cross and was stripped of any power for us to follow it. That's why we must continue to look into the perfect law of liberty to remain at liberty with the freedom that the Lord has set us free. You know, the scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Sounds like an Englishman speaking. You know, I like that. Indeed. Amen. What it means is truly. We're truly, truly, truly free. Amen. When we came to Christ, if he came into our heart, he did not put us in a halfway house. Let's make that very clear. We are not in a halfway house. So why people have so much problem with this, you know, with this imprisonment of the flesh that they have to do. They cannot live the habits. They cannot live the ways of patterns of living because there's something that is holding them that to something that is not really true, that is not real. It's a deception of the adversary to keep you in a prison. But it's because the Holy Spirit has not been able to build into you Jesus' character that defines you as a spiritual man, as a spiritual woman that can walk and should and must walk free with the liberty with which Christ has set us free. I'm learning too. I'm not there yet. I'm learning with you. I don't come here because I'm better than you. I am process of growing up together. And nobody, like Paul said, nobody think of me more than they ought to think. Hallelujah. But you see, in the mortal blow, it says, this body of sin has been rendered powerless. He has been reduced to inactivity in Christ. Now look at this in verse 11. I don't have time to read everything. It says, likewise, reckon yourself also to be indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we are to consider this body dead, powerless. But you see, that means that something has to happen to me in my way of thinking to be able to walk in agreement with the will of heaven. Amen. So the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, it says that we are to present what? Our bodies, a living sacrifice. Amen. Holy and accept, which is the Bible says, which is the most logical thing to do in view of what? In view of what Christ has done for us. Hey, we can bring it as a sacrifice. Might not want it, but there's no for him to say so. We have the power, amen, and the authority to make him come to church, to make him pray, to make him come in the choir, to do the things that he doesn't want to do by nature. But you see, that nature has been rendered powerless, and we have received a new nature. We have received the nature of Christ into our spirits. Amen? You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament. I think the book of Jeremiah says, can the leopard change his spots? Or can you change the color of the Ethiopian? Why don't you change the color of the Ethiopian? Or to make me change from not being Puerto Rican, I have to have been born something different. They have to change my nature. If you want a mango tree to yield pineapple, you have to change the nature. Mango trees only yield mangoes. Can I hear an amen? Isn't that easy to understand? So God, in all the process of the Old Testament, He wants to, what? He wants to give them a new spirit and a new heart and put their laws and their statutes into their minds, into their heart, so that they can obey Him, what? From the heart. A nature, a spiritual nature into which He can place His own self in there, called the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you and I, we don't feel it, but we are containers of the Spirit that move upon the waters in Genesis? Because we go about our daily life, we don't have the impact, the impact that we have, that person that hover in the emptiness, in the void of everything, living in your heart and mind. And He's called our daddy. He is called our Father. Amen. But we are walking with Him as some puppet manipulator making us do things that we don't want to do. And that is not true. Holy Spirit don't make anybody do anything. He doesn't force anybody to do anything. He came to father us. Amen. Now, in Romans chapter 7, Paul begins to explain a little bit about these things that happened to us. He said, and I'm going to paraphrase, okay? You read it later. I'm trying to look at the clock. So, he says that the woman, while she's married under this contract of marriage, amen, is held by that covenant of marriage. When you say, I do, you meant to say, not until your flesh die, but until your mortal body perishes. Amen? That's what we mean. We enter into that agreement. Amen? Meaning that if any of them, you know, if they're still alive, go and be with another man or woman, they're called an adulterer because the other person is still alive and you're held by that contract. Amen? But if one of them die, then the other person is free. Amen? To marry whoever they want. Even though still there's a paper that said John Doe and Jane Doe were married. Amen. But John Doe died, Jane is free to marry whoever she wants. Even though there's a paper that says they're still married. But it's only enforced while the person's alive. But once they're dead, no longer. So when we receive Christ, amen, this engagement that we have with the flesh can no longer be enforced. Because we die in Christ to the flesh so that we... Now let me read it because it's more beautiful in the scripture. Look at this. Verse 3, I'm going to read from Romans chapter 7. It says, So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband is dead, she is free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, brethren, wherefore, you also are become dead to the law, dead to the law by the body of Christ. Actually, you've been put to death. That's what it means. No, you are. He said, wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead. In the Greek, is you were put to death to the law by the body of Christ. In Him we die. Amen. That you should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Let me explain this. This is not the proper translation. I'm going to give it to you from the Greek. He says, they concluded, because they were speaking about marriage, saying that you should be married to another. And the reason it is true, and we're married to him, you know. But in the training of thought, that's not what it means. This is what it means. He says that you should be married to another. No, that you might belong to, or that you might become a different you. Eh? Who is that different you? The one who is raised from the dead. See? That you might become a different you, the one who has been raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Curse, of course, that when we were become a different us, immediately we hook up with Christ. You see? But the reality is, we have become a different. Amen? Let's look at a scripture, that 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look over there for a second. Let's look at this, because you're going to understand it here a little bit better. Praise God. Amen. Are you glad you came to church this morning? I'm glad I was not lost in the world. Ah, praise God. Look. Actually, let's read verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Paul speaking. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He said there was a time that he knew the anointed one, the Messiah, that was to come after the flesh. And you know what he did when he knew Christ after the flesh? He was killing Christians. He was persecuting the church. He said, I don't know him like that no more. Something happened to me. And look at this. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, or a woman, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. That means that all my failures, my accomplishments, whatever that was, God was not interested. He's not interested in degrees or pedigrees. And let me explain to you what Paul meant. Okay? Let me explain to you. Okay? Let's go to the book of Galatians. And let's go to chapter 1. And let me, verse 11, chapter 1. Are you listening to me? He said, Paul speaking, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Meaning, I didn't pattern this gospel because from somebody else. For I neither received it of men, neither I was taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't receive it because I went to some seminar, or I went here or there, or somebody came and told me. No. Jesus Christ was revealed to me. See, we need to have that revelation. Amen. That man cannot give to anybody, which is a personal thing. For you have heard of my conversation, or my behavior in time past, in the Jews' religion. How that be your measure? I persecuted the church and wasted it. I killed, you know. and profited in the Jewish religion about many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my father. Meaning what? That Paul, in his mind, in his soul, he actually believed he was doing the right thing. Paul was zealous, and he was perfect in his wrongdoing. He was perfect. He was perfect sinner. But he believed he was serving God. So this is the one that God said, this is the one, because he loved me. The wrong way, but he loved me. I'm going to straighten him out. Amen? You know, sometimes I protest to God. And I remember telling him, why don't you go find somebody who can speak English better than me? Why don't you do this? And sometimes I tell him, I am so full of faults and things. And he reminded me, the Holy Spirit, my Father, reminded me. 1 Corinthians, he says, for God takes the foolish things of the world and the base things of the world. In other parts, and the things that are not as if they are. So I can say, I qualify. You mean? See what I'm saying? This is not about who is best or not. We come from a cesspool of disobedient people. Talking about us Puerto Rican, not talking about you. Okay. Now look at this. Verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. And that's the writer. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Well, he was not separated from his mother's womb the way we think. Oh, God saw him in the mother's womb and right there God chose him. No, he was not separated. He was born in sin just like every one of us. But why he's saying this? That in that, in the book of Acts chapter 9, when he was in that journey through Emmaus, whatever it was, he was going, he was struck down to the ground, and he asked, who are you, Lord? And the Lord answered him, I am Jesus, whom you persecuted, and he received Jesus Christ into his heart. Right there, his natural birth, he was severed from all his history, and he was separated from the natural history by coming out of his mother's birth canal, and he became born from the Spirit. Just like you and me. You were separated from your mother's womb the minute, the very second you received Jesus into your heart. Can I hear an amen? Because that he says, you know, I knew Jesus after traditional Catholicism. They didn't do anything for me. My guilty conscience remained. I go into that box, confess my sins, and when I get out of that box, I remember a longer list than what I confessed because my soul was so protected of me, of my sin. That I couldn't confess everything. But God still loved me. He still cared for me. Amen. So we had to be, God had to give us a new nature. He had to kill us. And he did that in Christ. For the whole, you know, people say, well, if the Lord came to preach good news, if the Lord came to preach good news, telling people out there they're going to hell, that's not good news. Can I hear an amen? I'm sorry, but I'm against the preacher that like to preach hell, fire, and brimstone, all that thing. This is not the time to do that. This is the time to say, Jesus loved you. Jesus cared for you. He died for your sin. You're accepted in the beloved. You got, this is grace time, baby. I tell you, we have truly received the true grace land. Not Elvis Presley, the true grace land. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But we don't receive the grace of God just to buffet him. Amen. But to please him, because we all make mistakes. Paul said it. You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, that's not the purpose. Purpose of grace is, you're still loved, you're still a child. Come on home. Immediately. Amen. Now, look at this. Now, Holy Spirit is our Father. And I tell people, God would rather have you as a mature son than a minister that doesn't know anything about anything. Minister doing miracles, doing all kinds of things, and don't even know that he's the son. Going, doing things, you know, and the Lord, oh, I'm going to show you about the scripture. I'm not speaking here in my own opinion or brain. Amen. He would rather have you being a son and a daughter in the house of God than being a wild goose out there bringing shame to the name of the Lord. I am just saying. But the greatest honor that we could possibly receive is to be a son and a daughter together with Christ. That's the greatest honor. It's not that I'm a minister, I'm pastor, prophet, whatever. That's not. Because being a son has made us to enjoy of the inheritance that we have with Christ. We've been made partakers. Let me read the description. Now, the Holy Spirit, let me define another thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to Acts 10:38, says, He is the anointing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing or curing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is God with you? Is the Holy Spirit in you? You know what that means? You're anointed. But the first and most important anointing in your life is to be a son. It's not to be a minister. Most important anointing. Because if you grow up, you're developed as a child, he can do with you and through you whatever he pleases because you're a son. You are a trusted son. You're a trusted daughter. So we must allow all the time with it. Well, I'm too old. You know, I don't have time for this. Trust me. A word from God is life expectancy. I said a lie from God is life expectancy. God don't care about who you are. God is care about are you going to obey him. God is not going to give you a child at 75 years old and you for him not to go into college. You're going to see him going to college. And if you decide to see your grandbabies, you're going to see your grandbabies. What is wrong with us? God's not going to take us window shopping not to wear the dress. Amen. We need to get that. We need to be renewed in the way we think. This is, we are taking the renewing of the mind wrong. We think that we can renew our intellect. We cannot renew our intellect. We have to renew the spirit of our mind. The spirit man has to be renewed. Bible says in Romans 8:7, for the carnal mind, you got it, I got it, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The only thing you can do is stewardship, manage it. Cannot bring you down. Why? Because you have the authority. You're a son or a daughter. Amen. Now, I still got time, Pastor. Hallelujah. God is great. But going back over here to Romans chapter 8. Let's define a little bit who we are. We're spirit. Well, let's look first in verse 7. On account of that we have become a new us, the one that's been raised from the dead to yield fruit for the glory of God. Look what it says in verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, this is Paul speaking while he was still alive, when we were in the flesh, the motions or the passions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So there was a time that we were in the flesh. Now, how many of you came in the flesh this morning? Let me see your hands. Because if you came in the spirit, you know, you think you're a spirit, I'd like to talk to you. No, but listen. We came in the flesh. We came with the flesh. We came with the flesh. But if you're a believer, you did not come in the flesh. You came in the spirit. Amen? Because, well, let me read another scripture before I say anything else. In Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Here we got again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, is so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. How many of you have the Holy Spirit in you? Okay. Amen. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, it's not on him. Why he says the spirit of God and then the spirit of Christ? Might they be the same spirit? Could be. But let me suggest to you this morning that the spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of the new birth, your born-again Spirit, by which we have the right to receive that into our hearts and we become one with Him. It's defining the new birth, you're born again. I mean, he is the only begotten of the Father, and he is the firstborn from among the dead. The firstborn. Can I hear an amen? Maybe I'm speaking things that are a little bit hard. But I'm not talking to your brain. Thank God I learned that. I'm not talking to your intellect. I'm sowing seed. The brother spoke, the deacon spoke about sowing seed. I'm sowing into your spirit. Good ground. I believe you are good ground. I'm not wasting my time. Maybe if your mind is in the parking lot or someplace else, your ears are to the spirit are open. Your spirit is smarter than your flesh. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, we are not in the flesh. Amen? We are in the spirit. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look what it says. And verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we walk in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. Why? There's a reason why. Because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. If they were carnal, then we receive swords, machine guns, whatever you need, you know, a bulletproof jacket and stuff like that. But we don't need that stuff. Why? Because our warfare is spiritual, with spiritual weapons. And if you read here, it says, casting down, one of the things I see here, it says, casting down what? Imagination, reasoning, and every high thing that exalted himself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see all this? Eh? He's talking about what? He's talking about the place in which we, even though we have the liberty with which Christ has set us free, it is the place that we get most of the time get in prison. Right here. In our mind. If you want to have victory, you have to think like a victor. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Lord. You have to think like a victor. If you have a mind of condemnation, if you have a mind of defeat, if you have a mind of rejection, if you have all these things brewing in your mind, in your carnal mind, you never will amount to anything. Because the scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are the product of your thinking. Isaiah 55, the Lord says, you know, my ways are not your ways, and neither are my thoughts your thoughts. So something has to give up. Amen? That means we need to forsake the way we think for the way heaven thinks, so that the will of heaven can be enforced on the footstool of the Lord, which is the planet Earth. Amen? So, even though you have that mind that is contrary to God, it's always going to be there. So stop going to psychology, trying to read books. It's always going to be there. It's going to show up in church. It's going to show up, you know, in your everywhere. But what can you do? What you can do is this. I remember when I first came here, and I did not understand none of this stuff. Not that I think I understand much now, but I try by the Spirit. But I remember having bad thoughts, ugly thoughts, sensual thoughts. And I said, Lord, it grieved me in my heart. Because where are they coming from? All this emotion and the things that sparks in my flesh, all kinds of things. So I used to tell the Lord, Lord, don't pay attention to my thoughts. Because they're not mine. You know what I did? I disown my thoughts. I disown them. They're not mine. They're coming from a source that it cannot be the nature that he has given me. Amen. You need to understand this, because you're going to, we lose sleep. What are people going to think about me? Well, you know what I live with? If they think about Jesus, that is okay with me. If they the same thing about me. Amen. So we have to learn that we can be stewards of the body and of the mind, because we have received that supply of the Spirit to be able to not be a prisoner of our mind or the body. The habits can be break. The pattern of thinking can be broken. How? By allowing the Holy Spirit to father you. To father me. Amen. I tell this story. I think I told it years ago here. I'm going to tell it again. Watching TV, because it's so graphic. This Wild Nature, Marty Stoffer, I think it is his name. He's releasing this steward, because he said, this is what people do. And you know, they take birds and they raise them, heal them, and release them into nature again. Got two birds in a cage. His daughter was with him. He opened the cage, and one of the birds took off through the thing. It's like he was waiting. There's the door right there. And that little door opened, that thing just, I mean, you couldn't see the thing. But the other little bird stayed in the cage, didn't move a feather. And the little daughter asking, how come he doesn't flew away? Never forget this answer, because it was a spiritual answer. He said, he doesn't know he's free. You see, we can be saved and remain in the same place because we don't know how free we are in Christ. And sometimes we have the wrong teacher to lead us into the wrong kind of liberty. But if we, this is what the Holy Spirit said to us, if we would have enough the Father and stop trying to make our own thing, just like the Galatians began to believe that they had to bring Judaism to complement the work of the cross. You know what Paul said? Who has put a spell on you? Are you guys crazy? Puerto Rican translation. Amen. That you need this? That you need this? You know why Paul says circumcision and uncircumcision in Christ Jesus? It's nothing. But you know what it really means with Christ? New creation. That's a good leverage right there. Meaning, you're a son, you're a daughter, you don't need all that stuff. I mean, if you do it, then you're subject to the whole law. Amen. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to father us. Because he would not, I mean, if you raise children in your home, you're not going to teach him one set of rule of standards and to another one different. To one you respect the adult, to other you make mockery of them. You can rob a bank. You have to study hard and go to college so you can earn a living. But you can rob banks. Does that make sense? Doesn't make any sense. Amen. So what it tells me is that we have not comprehended the liberty and the identity. The Holy Spirit wants to give us identity in the spirit, well, spiritual. You know what doesn't make me spiritual? Coming to church. That doesn't make me spiritual. Praying doesn't make me spiritual. Reading the Bible doesn't make me spiritual. Baptism doesn't make me spiritual. You know what made me spiritual? I was born of the Spirit. You were born of the Spirit. Let me show it to you by the Scripture. I'm not lying to you. If it's not in the Scripture, you don't need it. 1 Peter, look what it says. Praise God. My page is just about there. Look what it says here. In verse 23 of 1 Peter 1. Being born again, being born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We're born again. Now look, you can read there in John 6:63. And Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they don't make any sense. They'll confuse you, no? He says, their spirit and their life. Oh, but I really, I don't understand it. And we get all this discourse about why we don't read it. And let me tell you something. Now, when you leave church after we finish here, and you go to the buffet or you go to the restaurant, I'm sure you're not going to eat until they explain to you the biochemistry or how you are to eat that big steak, that nice steak, because you're going to reject it because you don't understand how it's going to benefit your body. Or that nice sauce that they're going to put on it. I don't particularly like steak, but that's okay. You know, and you're going to reject it because you don't know how it works in your body. No. No. The luxury of alone is going to take you. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. He said, and they are they which give testimony of me. That should be reason enough just to read it. And trust the nature that he has given us. Did you know that he has given us a nature, a spirit, that is able to understand and comprehend spiritual things? Now, the problem with all this is that it takes time to go from our spirit to our head. Comprehension. It's called revelation. Amen. But we must trust the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. It is his job to bring to remembrance. It is his job to digest everything and to regurgitate, so to speak, all the nutrients into our spirit so that we can live thereby. Amen. It is him, the one that has to do all that work so that we can receive it, so that we can become like him. It's interesting, you know, how in the book of John chapter 14, Philip says, show us the Father, he suffices. And Jesus said, so long I've been with you, you cannot recognize the Father. Because Jesus said, that he only did what he saw the Father do, and he spoke only what he saw the heard the Father speak. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it said, in chapter 1, speak that he being the express image of the Father, whoever saw Jesus saw the Father. I would even dare to say to you that Jesus was the will of God in the flesh, the heart of God in the flesh, the compassion of God in the flesh, the whole nature of God in the flesh, the love of God walking in 2 feet, that was Jesus in the flesh. So it would stand to truth then that whoever would see us should see the one we're patterned our life to. His name is Christ, Jesus. Somebody says Jesus. Is they confused? Are you Jesus? No, but I'm his son, his brother. Amen? It shouldn't be that way. Whoever sees us should see him in character. Not that we're God, but we are children of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So we are spirit in same way. We are spirit in the bus. Amen? We're spirit in the bus. We're spirit in the park, in the beach, in the airplane. We're spiritual 24/7, and we need to come to the realization of that. Well, we don't change suit, amen, that this intellectual, natural mind that try and disfresh, try to get us captive, we need to realize who's talking to us and to define. But first we need to know our spiritual identity, because trust me, flesh, well, I was going to say we know it very well, but we get confused. People say, Victor, I don't know who's talking to me. If it's God, if it's myself, or it's the devil. You know, the problem is because we haven't not find our identity. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the divide and asunder, spirit, soul, joints, and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Without the word, we cannot see anything. We cannot understand anything. Amen. It is the word. So we need to stop fighting the word to go into our spirits and let it in, let it in. And when we come to church, pay attention. You know, pay attention. Even if you don't get it, tell the flesh, shut up, my spirit is receiving everything. I'm getting everything. It's right here. Because this is, if having an IQ, you know, higher number than the other will be a problem, then God would have given measures of the spirit. But God has given us the spirit without measure. And we have come through an equality as sons and daughters. Amen. That we might become Christ-like. Amen. So, your intellect and your IQ has nothing to do with it. Amen. It is, do you understand? Do you believe? Do you receive? And most like, you know what is, let's bypass all that. Let's just be obedient. It will do a number on us. Just by being obedient. Just being obedient. That's what they did in the Old Testament. You know what they did? Turn on the light. Turn on the light for David. I cannot do this only but by grace. Give me some of that bread. I got to eat it. Doing, being obedient will turn on the light. I cannot do this. This is impossible. There got to be something better. God, would you please tell me? Glad you asked. My grace is sufficient for you. Wow. We go searching for things. And my goodness, it's not going to happen to you like it happened to me. Hello, Victor. Right here in your heart. You're looking for something that is in your heart already. His name is the Father, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there is great hope for us. There is great expectancy. There is great potential in us. Amen. Why? Because look at this. I still have a little more time. Okay. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at this. You see, we have to trust the deposit. If Jesus thought it was expedient, it's very important that he left to leave us something that will be more resourceful, more effective in our life, then we must accept, amen, the work of the cross, that he living, giving us a new spirit, and giving us the Holy Spirit is the best thing that he could ever do for us. You know this scripture, he said, but as it is written, I have no sin, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. That means that your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears, and your heart have the potential to receive something that your natural man is not able to receive. But God has placed us in a position in God that we are able to receive it. Every one of us. That is the good news. That we are not behind with anybody. It's up to us. Amen. Sometimes, you know, shepherds put ceilings in our growth. But I'm sure this pastor doesn't. My pastor doesn't. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. They don't put a ceiling in our life. The sky is the limit. If you can reach out for the star, reach out for him. As far as you want to. Because you got what it takes. Let me say that again. You have what it takes. You have all the raw materials to become what God called you to be. Everything is in you. You don't have to go to a far country. You don't have to go over there. You need to reach out in the inside. Amen. He says, look at this. But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. By His Spirit. He said, for the Spirit searches all things. Even what? The deep things of God. Now, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, he is the deep things of God. Talking about born again spirit. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, your spirit. Amen? So it is your spirit and my spirit that has a hunger, a desire to search the deep things of God. It is that born again spirit that puts us in a position to search the deep things of God. And when I cannot do it through my natural wisdom, I can switch to automatic pilot. Let me dig the things of God. Amen. For he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. So when you cannot fail yourself how to express what you need to say, the Holy Spirit will take you into a perfect prayer that you can dig out what you need to dig out for you to benefit. You dig out right in there. I mean, when I discovered the Holy Spirit, it is you. You're talking through me. I discovered that in prayer. He talked through me. Because he lives in me. He began to tell me, you and me are one. I'm not going to raise Jesus from the dead. I'm not going to bring God down from heaven. He already did all that. He now lives in our hearts, in your heart and mind. And we need to come to that. Because that is part of our identity, who I am. I'm not walking in life confused. I know who I am. And I want you to understand who you are. You're a spiritual being. Stop fighting your intellect. Shut up. You know, let Holy Spirit what you have to say. And wait upon the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. We are spirit. And we need to come to terms with that. Whether I feel it or not. Today I don't feel like a son. Well, I'm still a son. Today I don't feel like a daughter. I'm talking about you, ladies. Amen. I'm still a daughter. And sometimes, you know what I do? I say it out loud for the benefit of the listening audience, mainly my flesh and my intellect and the devil. Amen. I remember one day, I'm on my home, all depressed and everything, years ago. And I'm taking all the, because we want sympathy from God, as if we needed more sympathy from Him. We got all the sympathy we're going to get. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm just getting buffeted. You know, oh, I feel so good. Let's see if God can have something for me, you know. Holy Spirit said to me, my father and your father, named the Holy Spirit, said to me, tell the devil God is your father. That's right. You know what I did? I obeyed. I stood up and I said, you know, devil, God is my father. A jolt of Holy Ghost presence took me over. Because Satan hates that you be identified. And he came to challenge Jesus. He said, if thou be the Son of God, Jesus had no problem knowing who he was. He had no problem. And he came to Adam with the same thing. He might be in there. If thou be the daughter, you are, you know, don't be silent. Yes, I am. And I'm going to show you how kind of a daughter I am. I'm going to cook you and keep you in the last. It's going to hurt you for eternity. Amen. And sometimes, you know, I know it's hard. As long as we carry this flesh. But the scripture says we have a hope. The fullness of our redemption. One day we're going to receive a glorified body. Just like Jesus. Just like He is. Amen. That's why the scripture says our spirit groans and moans in the inside of us. Waiting for the redemption. The Bible said, to wit, King James, to wit. The redemption of our body. But in the meantime, your spirit and my spirit, you can read that in Romans chapter 8, and you can read that at the end of Galatians chapter 3 and beginning chapter 4. He says that our spirit cry within us, Abba, Father. Or like they would say in Chinese, Abba Tien Phu. Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bearing witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. And you know, when you read over there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27 says, we have received an unction from the Holy One. An unction which is true and cannot lie. He said, we have no need that anyone teaches us. Meaning what? You don't need nobody that is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Being fathered by the Holy Spirit has the right to say anything to you. But one thing the Holy Spirit is not going to teach you is to rent and divide the body of Christ. Because if you're raised by the same Father, He'll keep you together. He wants the family together. One faith, one hope, one doctrine. Amen. So those people sometimes want to depart from you, want to leave you. You need to pray for them. They have not, you know, Father, continue to father them. You love them. And continue to father us so that He can bring us together as a family. What a beautiful picture is here in this church. It's not seen in everywhere. That you can have this image of Christ. So beautiful. Some of you understand what I'm saying. Because people may respect a person in different senses. And sometimes not in the best sense. But we are Christ. And heirs together with Jesus. Heirs of God. Can you imagine? Our daddy created the heavens and the earth. Bible says, heaven is His throne, the earth is His footstool, and that is our daddy. We're not talking about some religion strange, no, we're talking about somebody that told us from the very beginning that when you pray, don't call on, oh God, no, He said, when you pray, say our Father who art in heaven. That's the first thing that Jesus taught, that we are to pray to our Father. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. It's going to be right there in the inside of you. Give Him the praise. Holy Ghost came to glorify Jesus, not to entertain. Amen? No, I'm not talking about, I'm not saying now, but let us be so serious we have no fun, because there's not a greater guy than Jesus to have fun. I'm not talking about that. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus did not come to take the fun out of the party. He came to be the life of the party. Amen, people. That's what I'm trying. I learn because I don't know better. I'm gonna do this again. When I decided, if I was the one, when I decided to get a picture of selves, to identify myself, this is what I chose. You ready to see my picture? There's no glory for the donkey that brings the Lord to town. No disrespect to the donkey. But I always keep this. You know, listen to me. It sounds funny, but it has a personal. It's been with me many places. Because I find no glory. I always have to be reminded that the glory is His. That the honor is His. Because it is so easy to believe that you're something. So easy, I know. And you know, and I go places. If you tell me, well, no, I understand because of the Lord. But I don't want my flesh to fool me. You understand what I'm saying? This is not false humility, trust me. This is a reminder, a constant reminder, that whatever we took Christ, and He is exalted, the glory is to Him and to Him alone. Amen. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not destroying scripture, because the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. You see, there's a balance in everything. There's a teaching of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Honor to whom honor is due. And we should receive and respect the honor that because of Christ in our life, people want to bestow upon us. Amen. You understand that? Why? Because we're being taught by the best Father, the best teacher there is. Have I arrived? No, it's not true. I haven't arrived yet. We will arrive one day in His presence. But in the meantime, let us help one another. You can make it. Let's come together. Let us make it together. Let us be edified together. Let us believe together. Amen. Let us have hope together. Amen. Let us dream together. Amen. If you have a dream, let us not be envy. I don't want what the Lord has for you. I want you to excel because I want you to if when I'm in that state that I need help, you'll be there for me. Because we need one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you give every one of us a hundredfold return of the seed of your word planted and watered in our heart, Father, for the glory of God the Father. You know, I like that, John chapter 15. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And we need that sap of his life to continually flow through the branch that we are, so that we can eat all the fruit that the Father is worthy because of the Son. See? Hallelujah. Glory. And we all can do it. Every one of us. I don't care what your husband told you. I don't care what your mother or your father abused you, whatever he did, or whatever failures you yourself that are responsible, committed in life. Today is the day of salvation. Hebrews 4 says, today is the day of salvation. Today you have heard the good news. He said, today, if you have heard his voice, don't harden your heart. Take this day as a clean slate to be launched into your future, to be launched in your potential by being raised by the best of the best. And the best is Jesus. The best is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.